Turn with us to the book of Malachi, chapter number 2. Malachi, chapter number 2. And we, of course, preached out of the book of Malachi last Sunday night and then a few Sundays before that. And I feel like the Lord has been kind of just leading us to continue through the book of Malachi. And so until the Lord stop, we'll just continue to proceed further. And so Malachi, chapter 2, if you'd like to stand as we read the Word of God, I invite you to do that at this point. And let's read the first 9 verses together, and then please leave your Bible open and we'll return to the text throughout the message, all right? Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 1. God says, "And now you priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave then to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned away many from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have cursed many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also made you contemptible and base before people, according as you have not kept impartial in the law." Father, help us this night as we preach the Word of God. Let us say what you want us to say. God, give us Spirit of God, of Christ. Clothe us in our calling, we pray, and help us to preach to this body of believers. We ask it in Christ's name, and amen. You may be seated. As Christians, there's little doubt that you and I have much that we can be thankful for. You and I are blessed people, and we are loaded every day with the benefits of God. Amen. David says this in Psalm 68:19, when he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who loadeth us with benefits." David said in Psalms 27:13, "I'd fainted lest I'd seen goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." See, the Lord gives us blessings day by day, and God gives us these blessings for the purpose of drawing each and every one of us closer to Him. You see, God blesses us because He wants us to, in return, love Him and have a relationship with Him. Amen. But oftentimes, I'm afraid that blessings of God drawing us closer to God sometimes cause us to be at a distance from God. God blesses us and God provides for us and God gives us abundance in our life. And when God gives us this abundance, it causes us to grow complacent. It causes us to have a mentality of privilege. And sometimes it even causes us to just be spoiled brats, if we'll be honest with each other. You know, I thought about it this way. All of you have seen children a little bit spoiled, have you not? You know why the children act the way they do, why they're spoiled? Because they've never heard their parents say that two-letter word, no. They've never heard that. They've heard yes and they've heard okay, but they've never heard the word no. And because they've never heard no, they have become disobedient, rebellious, and spoiled in their nature. You see, mom and dad are giving them things because they want them to love them. They want to have a good relationship with them. But sometimes the children do not receive it the way it's supposed to be received, and it causes them to live in rebellion. Now, Malachi is prophesying in chapter 2 to a group of people that have enjoyed the blessings of God. God has blessed them and God has been good to them. But unfortunately, the blessings of God have led them to a place of indifference. They feel like they no longer need God because they have had an abundance of blessings in their life. In the first 9 verses of chapter 2, we see the poor attitude of the heart of the people in Israel. But most noticeably, we see this poor attitude displayed in the life of the priest or the man of God. These men were called by God to lead a nation in the ways of God. Instead of leading the nation in the ways of God, they were spiritually blind, and they were leading the people away from God instead of to God. They had been called to lead people into a relationship with God, but they were leading people away from God instead. And because of this attitude on the part of the people and on the part of God, says, I am going to bring a curse upon you. But not only is he going to bring a curse, but he said, I am going to curse your blessings in verse number 2. I will curse your blessings because of this attitude that you have. And now, O priest, this commandment is to you. Malachi 2:1. Throughout the pages of the Bible, God has called upon men. God has called men to be witnesses to others, to stand out apart from the crowd and be different and proclaim what thus saith the word of God. And oftentimes this message was difficult to deliver. Many times the people did not want to hear what the preacher had to say, but it was God's message nonetheless, and they were called to deliver it, and they were responsible for saying to the people what thus saith the word of God.
Amen.
You think about something with me. Elijah was called to preach a message in a day and hour in which the king and the queen wanted to hunt and take his life for that message that he preached. Ahab and Jezebel would have loved nothing more than to get rid of Elijah because he preached what the word of God had to say. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit for his message. John the Baptist had his head cut off for his message. Jesus Christ was crucified for his message. And now the priests in Israel have chosen, instead of taking a stand for right and taking a stand for God and truth, they will just accept the wickedness. They will go with the flow, and they will not say anything to anybody about what they're doing. And because of that, God says, I will curse your blessings. I'll be honest with you tonight. I believe that tonight's message probably is as much for me as it is anybody else, but it's the message that God has given us. And so if I'm just preaching to myself, y'all hang tight for a few minutes and help me out, all right? Amen. You'll see maybe by the end of this message why you need to pray for your preacher. I want to preach tonight on this thought: the curse of a crooked preacher. The curse of a crooked preacher. I want you to notice 3 things out of these first 9 verses. I'll give them to you quickly. I want you to see this. Number 1, I want you to see the curse. Look at verse number 2. And if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Because these men did not take heed to the commandments of God, God promised them a curse. Not only does God say he would curse them, but he says, I will curse your blessings. In fact, the word curse is mentioned 7 times in the book of Malachi. And the word means to bring judgment or to bring hardship. And God says to these preachers, he said, I will bring judgment upon you. I will bring hardship upon you. I will bring a curse upon you because you have not said and not stood where I told you to stand and said what I told you to say. If you study Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, you'll discover that God promised the people a curse for disobeying his law. And in this promise of a curse, God promised them that he would curse them physically, he would curse them mentally, he would curse them with material hardships. Therefore, it stands to reason when God says in verse 2 to the preacher that I will curse you for not being what I want you to be, God is saying I will bring you physical and mental and material hardships for not being the man that I have called for you to be. Now, I began this sermon by saying that God has blessed all of us. And that is certainly true. God has blessed His people. We are blessed people. We are blessed with money. We're blessed with possessions. We're blessed with jobs. We're blessed with children. We're blessed with spouses. We could go on and on. And all of these things are a blessing from God. But all of these things that are a blessing can also be a curse from God. Isn't that right? You see, that money that you love, it can be a blessing. But when you don't have much of it, it can be a curse.
Amen.
And if you got too much of it, it can be a curse. Amen. Amen? Isn't that right? That job that you love so much, you could go in tomorrow and things change. You get a new supervisor, a new boss, and that job become a curse to you. Amen?
Amen.
Those little darling angels of yours that never do anything wrong, them babies that you raised in your house, you know, them perfect angels, you let one of them go astray and you let them do something they're not supposed to do, and you'll spend sleepless nights and you'll pace the floor and you'll weep bitter tears because your blessing's been turned into a curse.
Amen.
Hey, that marriage that you've got, it may be good tonight, but you forsake the Lord and you allow the devil to come into your home, and that marriage can quickly go from a blessing to a curse upon you.
Amen.
And God said in verse number 2, I am going to curse your blessings, is what He said.
Amen.
These priests could lose the blessings of God upon their life. What was worse is that, but if the priest was not being the man that God called him to be, not only was he going to lose his blessings, but the people would in turn lose their blessings. Think about this with me. Think about a man or a woman, a couple that's maybe having marital difficulties. And I've been blessed now to preach several marriage conferences and retreats. And I couldn't tell you, Brother Scott, how many times people have come up to me and said, preacher, this has been the hardest year in our marriage. And you don't know what you've done for us this year. And you've helped us more than you'll ever know, preacher. And it wasn't me, it was God. You understand that.
Amen.
But they were going through marital difficulties. But a preacher stood up somewhere and gave them the Bible and gave them the Word of God. And they left out of that conference fired up and charged up and said, we're going to make this thing work. And we're going to pull it together. And we're going to live for God. That was a blessing to them. But what if the preacher never came? And what if the preacher never had a word from God? And what if instead of hearing and saying what thus saith the Word of God, he just filled some time? That same couple that said, you've helped our marriage, would go home with a hurting marriage, and it may not last to the next marriage retreat. You see, if the man of God wasn't what he was supposed to be, then the blessings could easily become a curse.
That's right.
You may be asking yourself, why? Why would God do this? Why would God take a marriage or take a child or take a job or take your finances? Why would God take that and that blessing upon you and turn it into a curse? Why would a loving God do something like that? The reason that God would do something like that is the same reason a good parent brings correction into the life of their children. They bring it into their life for the purpose of bringing them back to the proper place, and the proper relationship, and the proper place of fellowship and obedience. You see, sometimes God has to bring a storm into our life, not to harm us, but to help us and get us back to where we're supposed to be. David said in Psalms 94, verse number 12, David said, blessed is the man whom God chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. David said, God has blessed the man with chastening. That word chastening means to instruct, is what it means. David says, sometimes God brings hardships into our lives for the purpose of instructing us, chastening us, teaching us a lesson, is what he's saying. God is teaching us right and God is teaching us wrong. And sometimes it takes judgment so we can learn right from wrong. We can learn what we should do and what we shouldn't do, who we should be around and who we shouldn't be around. God is trying to help us, and sometimes the only way to help us is to curse us. Oh my, I know. But let me say this. There's another option to a curse.
You know what the other option to the curse is? To walk with the Lord, to appreciate His blessings, and to live good, godly lives.
Amen.
You see, there's another side. There's a different path. David, the man that said, "The Lord has blessed us with chastening," that same man understood what it was like to be in a right relationship with God.
Yes.
He knew what it was like to stand at the foot of a giant and look up at him and say, "You come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel."
Amen.
And he knew what it was like to watch his enemies fall at his feet in defeat and hear them chant, "Saul has killed his thousands. Oh, but David is 10,000. He knew what that was like.
Amen.
But he also knew what it was like to have the man of God point his finger in his face and say, "David, thou art the man that took the other man's ewe lamb. You're the one, David, that took what didn't belong to you. You're the one that did what you wasn't supposed to. It was you, David." And he knew what it was like to cry bitter tears and watch his baby die, his children go crazy. And David knew what it was like to be on both sides of the fence. And so he encourages us in Psalms 103:2 and said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." David said, don't forget the benefits of God, because when you do, it brings hardship. Because it was imperative that the priests tell the people the truth of the Word of God. When a man of God is telling the people the truth of the Word of God, it enables them to judge themselves, to make things right in their own lives before God brings them discipline and God brings them judgment. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said in the Corinthian church, he said in chapter 11, verse 30, he said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." You see, the man of God said, "There's a problem in the church, and here's what the problem is. Y'all acting like a bunch of idiots at the Lord's Supper. Some are drunk and some are starving, and it ought not be that way. But if you'll judge yourself, God won't have to judge you."
Yes. Amen.
You see, that's the job of the preacher. The job of the preacher is to stand in the pulpit and rear back and spit and sweat and bug-eyed, say, "Get right with God before it's too late."
Amen.
So you can get right with God before it's too late.
Yes.
You think about Jonah. God said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach a message. A very short message. Yet in 40 days, judgment's coming." And that's all he said, Brother James.
Yeah.
Short message, short and sweet, baby. 40 days and judgment's coming. And he just walked through the streets with that one message. But the man of God, with one short, one simple message, preached it in Nineveh. And from the king to the pauper on the street, they said, "What if we listen? What if we repent? What if we obey God?" And they took off their robes and they put on sackcloth and said, "Let's just see what God will do." And God withheld His judgment on Nineveh.
Amen.
You see, a curse was coming, but they didn't have to have the curse. They could have the blessing.
Yes.
I see that God promises them a curse in verse number 2. Not only do I see the curse, I want you to see this number 2. I see not only the curse, but I see the cause. Verse number 2, "And if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already." Why? Because you do not lay it to heart. God, through the prophet Malachi, it's almost like we're at a doctor's visit. You know, you've probably been there, or you know somebody that's been there, that you sit in the exam room and the doctor comes in and he looks you over and he tells you your diagnosis. He says, "This is what is wrong with you. You have this disease." And then the doctor begins to tell you how that disease came into your body. Maybe a poor diet, or maybe you've been smoking your whole life and now you've got emphysema, or whatever it is. He begins to tell you why you're dealing with the disease that